Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Tights and Fights. We are a wrestling podcast. I think I have done this before.
I can't imagine.
Tights and Fights.
No, because I know I would have made fun of the accent. So go ahead and
podcast.
Get into it.
That's how it sounded, okay?
Oh, no, I'm aware.
That is the song.
I'm still going to...
You're making fun of him or me?
I'm making fun of you doing a Jamaican accent.
I'll take it either way. Irie, welcome to Tights and Fights, Mon, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Jesus. One love. I'm Hal Dude Lublin. Wait, let me do that again. I'm Hal Dude Lublin. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Dead Dan Talkin, Danielle
bow,
Radford.
Bow.
You told a lie.
No, not that one. Never that one.
I can't allow.
Why do you hate me?
I don't. I love you. And I also love Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking.
Our special guest is the co-producer of the WrestleSplania podcast and a writer for Fanbyte Media. It's LB, no Selby, Hunk Tears.
Hey.
Oh, that's so great.
That's
you have
so
the best
great.
Name I've ever heard. The wrestling name is also nice. Good job, Julian. But
I'm keeping it. I'm keeping no Selby.
Keep it.
That's really good.
Yeah, that is yours for
no,
all time.
It. Yeah, you own that.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's so nice being here in this pod room.
The podcast pod.
Podcast pod room, yeah.
The podcast pod room.
We're in like a little box that's covered with the things.
That's right. Sometimes, you weren't here before, LB, I talk about this all the time, the tiles were falling off, but they got put back on. That's just a short story about this room. LB, tell us about your wrestling fandom. How did you come to it? How long have you been watching? Give me your favorite wrestler as well.
Well, I was I saw some wrestling when I was a kid, but I was a really serious kid, and I hated it. I was offended. I thought it was distasteful, and just... not for me. So I didn't become a wrestling fan until 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. So really late in life. Even though I did watch like the entire Cyndi Lauper, like Fabulous Moolah, like 80s angle on YouTube, like in 2008 when YouTube
Fuck
was kind of first a thing.
But Cyndi Lauper for Hall of Fame. Sorry, I do this every episode.
Cyndi Lauper for
thing.
Hall of Fame. Absolutely. It's sure. Nuts that she's not in there. And in 2016, like I went and visited my parents and was like, hey, you know, I've been watching wrestling, and found out both of my parents had in their lives been secret wrestling fans, and they didn't know that about each other.
Oh, wow. Mark family!
So my dad has been keeping up with wrestling in secret since 1960.
Awesome.
And my mom watched the Cyndi Lauper stuff in the 80s when she lived in New York, because she was like a new waver. So
yeah, how could you not?
That's amazing.
So yeah, me and my parents are now like a wrestling family, and it like solidified us during the 2016, which was a year.
Mm-hmm. Woof.
Yeah. So like loving Chris Jericho brought my family back together.
I cry all the time. This is literally one of those times I'm like, that's amazing.
It's really cool. Yeah.
And so I have to ask, because I've been curious about this since forever. So you are a co-producer on WrestleSplania.
Yeah.
They are in New York.
Yes.
You are here.
Yes, I am.
How do y'all make that work?
We're basically just always in our Discord, like our secret Discord channel, talking a ton of shit.
Secrets.
Yeah. Mm. And then we also do work while we're like being dickheads with each other. But I mean, so I don't do any of the audio engineering or anything like that. My co-producer, Nate, he does all that. And then I listen to it. I'm really pedantic, which is why they don't let me on very often. So like I'll like put together lesson plans, because it's like an explainy podcast. So
right.
One thing that's been really exciting for me is like hearing from people who say things like, you know, I've always been curious about wrestling, but I've never had an access point. And then I checked out this show that literally explains topic by topic things to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's accessible. I can, especially with Japanese wrestling, the language barrier, the tech barrier. Mm-hmm. Which is getting easier, but, you know.
Yeah, y'all and How To Wrestling are fantastic for people who really want to deep dive.
Yeah. We're so happy to have you here. Something just fell on the floor. It's fine.
I think it's my...
It's your pin.
It's your Max
Let me pick that up for you.
Last year.
I'm so excited about this pin.
There you go. Enjoy. Enjoy your pin. We have finally passed the last off-ramp on the road to WrestleMania. Fastlane is one of those shows that is a throwaway in general. Mm-hmm. I thought this one was pretty damn good.
So I enjoyed some of the matches a lot, which means it was a good pay-per-view, basically. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm happy.
Boy, the bar's been set so low for us now.
I know, or like your time has been wasted. It was genuinely enjoyable to watch. It was fun.
Let's get right into the show and all the fallout, starting with the main event for the last time, in quotes, The Shield versus Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre. Great match. The Shield matches are always fun brawls, and this is no different.
I always enjoy them, and I, you know, I enjoyed the, this is the last ride, like, this is the last time we're going to see The Shield together, and that's the story of the match. Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre, I'm not super into that, but I love The Shield. It just kind of feels like the popular boys picking on the other kids. It's
right.
Fine.
So when you came into wrestling, The Shield had already been broken up. And I also, I had been away for a while, and I came back right after WrestleMania or at WrestleMania 30. So I don't have the same attachment to them. What about you?
Well, I don't have the attachment, but I have tremendous respect for the attachment. Mm-hmm. Because before I was into wrestling, basically my whole, since I was like 12, I've been like kind of too very involved in like slash fit communities. Mm-hmm. And The Shield is like, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. So I've seen, like, I'd seen them around. I'd seen like gifs of them before I started watching wrestling. So it's not my thing, but I'm very protective of like my fellow weirdos. That's my Shield feelings. There aren't really like the right words to explain that without throwing everybody under like the pervert bus, but
do it.
This feels like such a respectable podcast.
No,
but you're right. Okay.
No, we're trash. This match to me felt like if you were a big fan of the Eagles and you went to their reunion tour and they played Hotel California and they played mm-hmm. Take It Easy, they played like all their hits. So you're like, oh, that was, yeah, I got to see the Eagles. Like, that was exciting for me. I got to see the Eagles live. They played all their songs I expected them to. They played it like it sounds on the album, so that was good. It's just like they can't have a really bad match together as a group.
And it's better than when I saw Judas Priest live, where it was like, why are you playing shit off your old album? This is 2012?
Yeah. No B-sides.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I want Run to the Hills, and I want Run to the Hills for 2 hours.
So this story continued the next night on Raw. We had Seth Rollins continuing his path to Brock Lesnar, taking on Shelton Benjamin. What? I mean, I like Shelton Benjamin. I'm glad he's on television. Like, good for you, Shelton Benjamin. Yeah. But why? What?
I think Paul Heyman said he and Brock Lesnar are like sparring partners or something.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Shelton Benjamin. He's got such a pun him.
Yes, he does have a pun.
That I'm happy whenever I see him. And I also, I'm like a big Mia Yim fan, and he mm-hmm. and Mia Yim do like a lot of bits together online.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm like, that has endeared him to me a lot. So I'm like, yay, Shelton Benjamin.
Good to see him on TV.
Y'all know I love my tweets. JR now is officially no longer with the company, mm-hmm. but JR has gotten spicy on Twitter. Hell of a match between Shelton Benjamin and Rollins on Raw. Too bad it's being somewhat ignored due to the telling of backstory while action is in progress. That's a disconnect, in my opinion. And that's as salty from JR as we're ever going to get, right? It's not that barbecue sauce or maybe your sandwich.
You can hear that. That's a better fashion, in my opinion. Like that. You can hear that. You can hear it in JR's voice.
And I have to see. I have to say that I did agree with him. I thought that it was a great match. It did narratively. Okay. But it was a really good, solid match. But so much of the commentary, because it's always going to be, was about other things. I don't know. I liked the match. I thought it was really solid.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then at the end, my like Seth Rollins thing, when I first started watching wrestling, I would kind of half pay attention, and then I would notice when his hair would get frizzy, and I'd be like, oh, okay, I have to pay attention, because if his hair gets frizzy, that means it's good.
Yes.
And his hair was a mess at the end of it, and so I was like, oh, no, I got to go back. And yeah, it was really good, but they just weren't giving it the space to let it be as good as it was. Mm-hmm. And so they can move together.
Shelton Benjamin is one of a lot of them that are so good that nothing's happening for, and we forget, like, when you get them in a ring and it's really working, man, they're super good. And it's like, oh, right, you're here because people don't want you on the indies.
It's still incredible to watch. it is sad to see him used as filler. And that was an opportunity to maybe create a little something for him. But again, the commentary, total letdown. Roman was set to have his first singles match back against Baron Corbin, but he was attacked by Drew McIntyre, which led to Dean taking on the Scottish Psychopath at a Falls Count Anywhere match. But looks like Dean and Roman for WrestleMania.
Probably.
Or not. Roman and Drew, not Dean.
Yeah.
Roman and Drew is what I meant.
I think it'll be a good match. They're both very great. I think that Drew will absolutely, positively, 100% step up at the plate. I wish it was a better story, but I'm happy to see Roman wrestling again. And that makes me psyched. I don't know. I'm psyched to see Roman more than I'm psyched for this match. Only because there wasn't enough kind of buildup, considering that WrestleMania is so important.
Right.
I'm happy to see Roman back.
I loved the Falls Count Anywhere match. I love a Falls Count Anywhere match in general. I really enjoy Drew McIntyre, not just because his thighs are like my dream like pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like firm and big.
Live inside him.
Right. Yeah. But he's like actually like a genuinely like fun performer to watch in addition to being huge and wet. And so Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, two large wet men. Cool. Into it. I don't know. I mean, how is Dean going to be on WrestleMania?
I don't know. Has that confirmed, Julian? And I just missed it this week because I've been busy, but I don't know if it's been confirmed that he will or will not be.
I don't think his contract runs out after WrestleMania.
Yeah, so he'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm betting that he'll at least do a run-in, at least.
Okay.
Yeah,
and maybe give us like that last, it's something we've been theorizing for weeks. We're going to get that last fist bump. That last,
oh, for
like,
sure, yeah.
At the WrestleMania.
Last shield fisting.
Yeah. Last shield fist.
Oh, boy. One person who was not on the show Sunday was Finn Balor, because he wanted to wait until Monday to drop his Intercontinental title to Bobby Lashley with a returning Leo Rush. So obviously this will continue into the grandest stage of them all. Mm. It's odd not to have surely there was a match on the card that could have been moved to make room for Finn Balor to defend the Intercontinental title, right? Was that the only one of the few titles that wasn't defended?
I love Finn so much. I am so used to Finn getting kind of the short end of the stick and then coming back and making something amazing with it that I'm not even like, Finn will rise again. Did you see that pic he posted this week? He's always going to be fine. Oh, that's not something you care about. Sorry.
What happened? What, did you see his penis again?
Oh, my God.
So
red shorts, it's
fine. Did the sun come up today?
That's true. He and his penis are fine. Does he have an Instagram account for his crotch? Like some people have Instagram accounts for their dogs and cats?
That's no. There's no version of Aleister Black's cat's Instagram for his penis.
Oh, too bad.
Someday. But it's Finn. There should always be room for him, and there isn't as much as I would like there to be.
And who knows where this story is going?
Yeah.
But it feels so far it has not been super enjoyable, just because it feels like they're hot potatoing. So I don't know. Is this about the chase? Is it about him being a fighting champion? Because we've gotten a little bit of both, but not really a full amount of either.
I do miss the dick zoom, though, in the entrance.
I know. They caught on. They caught on.
I mean, also, they like changed his trunks. Also, he has different house show trunks than his TV trunks.
Yeah, I know.
You guys ever noticed
that
his logo kind of points to his junk?
Yes.
It's like a BC, sure. And it just points down.
Of course we did. We know what he's doing. Literally, photos of Finn are the only time that non-wrestling fan comedian ladies I know are like, wait, this is wrestling? And I'm like, yeah, bitch, this is wrestling.
Let's talk about what I think was one of the best matches of the night. Samoa Joe's first successful U.S. title defense in a fatal four-way against Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, and Andrade. Cien Almas, I will say his full name.
Thank you.
For all time.
Thank you.
What a fun match.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe's the kind of guy who, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show. Sometimes the title makes the performer. Sometimes the performer makes the title. He's absolutely making the U.S. title
absolutely, yeah.
Important.
Yeah. He's a performer who elevates every single match that he's in and every single feud that he's in. Because I, you know, as funny and fun as I thought that, and weird, as I thought that thing between him and AJ was, he made that feud.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
And if it was anyone else, it would not have worked. No. Samoa Joe uplifts everything. And then again, when you have these people, that's a great match. Do we think that R-Truth has maybe like one more year in him before he's done?
if you look at the way he's wrestling now compared to the way he was wrestling like a year ago, he is going. He's not holding back. Like SmackDown this week, he was going.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And noticed, you can tell when people are doing that, when they're going full hog.
Absolutely. This group of four people, I could watch them wrestle every week.
Yes.
And be thrilled. Samoa Joe elevates everything he does, but Rey Mysterio absolutely elevates like anything he touches.
Absolutely.
Andrade is incredible. And R-Truth is able to really shine with this group in a way I've been watching it for a really short time. I've never seen him like this before.
And also Carmella and Zelina. Also, like, you
that
have five.
Was great.
You have six talented performers who are all involved. You can break it off into one-on-ones. I think Joe needs to move on to either bigger and better things or put the four of them in a ladder match. You have to do something different, but you have to give him a decisive win. I'd like to see him have a lengthier run and maybe cough up the title at SummerSlam personally.
And, you know, I've always loved and championed how good everyone is on social media, but I don't want to call it the Beck effect, but I'm going to go ahead and call it the Buffect. Everyone is really doing well on social media, and Zelina has been killing it on social media the last couple of weeks. And she already was doing very well. One of these days, she's going to tell someone she's going dog walk them, and it's going to be the best thing on Twitter.
Oh, I'm excited for that now.
Speaking of successful title defenses, what did everybody think about Asuka finally beating Mandy Rose?
Oh my God, she kicked her face off.
Yeah.
Asuka looked strong, and she's been needing to look very strong. I don't think that this is going to affect Mandy Rose negatively, because Asuka against anyone, I firmly believe that person can be incredibly talented, and Asuka will still kick your head off your head.
And she got to wrestle for the title on a pay-per-view.
Yep.
That's a huge step up for Mandy Rose, considering that she was right there with ZZ. Just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. ZZ.
Was he eaten by an alligator? Do we know? Is that confirmed?
He was eaten by the spirit of not trying.
Yep. Which takes the form of an alligator in the bayou.
In Florida, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it.
He's gone.
I am not a Mandy Rose fan. I have issues specifically with her presentation. I think her face is too generic to do a bombshell gimmick.
I get that. I think for me, and maybe I like what she's doing specifically. I'm not going to lie. I think that I put a lot of my Eva Marie love onto her.
That makes sense.
Because I loved everything that Eva Marie was doing. And it seemed very clear that when Mandy came up, they were trying to, and they've been trying to do it forever. They tried to do it with Emma and that Instagram model gimmick. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do that gimmick for a while. And so for me, I guess I'm like, I loved what Eva Marie was doing before she left so much that Mandy just gets all of that love from me now.
I don't think she was ready for this match, but I think this match was to serve a larger story of her and Sonya Deville.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where she is in a couple of years. I think that Mandy will continue to try and get better. I think that she was one of those people who, unfortunately, was maybe moved up too quickly from NXT.
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
And that's happened to a lot of the newer talent. And I'm hoping that they learn that lesson. Keep the guys and gals and non-binary pals who are new, keep them in NXT until they are ready to move on. And if it isn't someone who's been working for, 5 years in other places and then came over and can already do it, and you just have to teach them the WWE way, if it's someone brand new, keep them down there until they learn.
Yeah. It's the NXT is a victim of its own success.
I agree.
Because they got one of the worst things that could have happened, which is they probably got Vince's attention a lot more. So he was like, let's call these people up. And then he just grabs whatever he wants. Then you start talking about, well, NXT's the third brand. No, keep it as the developmental. Like, let these people fail in a safe environment so they can get better. Let's talk about some people from NXT who have found some success, including The Revival, who had a barn burner of a match. Rude and Gable look great. Obviously, Ricochet and Aleister Black look great. All of a sudden, Raw has a tag scene.
I know. I'm so excited. I love tag teams.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very exciting. You don't know where it's going, but they're also in the tag scene in SmackDown as well. Where would you rather see them stay?
Raw.
LB? Yeah. You want them in Raw?
The chemistry between all three teams of The Revival, Rude and Gable, and Aleister Black and Ricochet, I loved. But every time Ricochet and Chad Gable were in the ring together, I was like, I went from glued to like, edge of my seat, super glued, like, oh my God, I love just the the mixing of styles, the chemistry, just the energy, like the way they look together. I want more and more and more and more of that.
Yeah, and Rude, I mean, let's be real, Rude and Gable need this.
Yeah.
They were two people who had a ton, again, had a ton of excitement in NXT. Rude has definitely cooled off. Gable has definitely cooled off. And they are two incredibly talented folks. We don't have much longer with Rude, let's be real. Mm-hmm. He's another one where we probably only have a good 2-3 years left of him. So let's, before he starts, you know, maybe not leaving, but phasing to part-time. Phasing to part-time and then maybe in more helping out folks in developmental. We don't have that much longer with him. And for them to be in that match and get that shine, exactly what they needed.
I mean, the thing with the Revival is, and one of the things that makes them such a great team, and also I think makes them very similar to Sasha Banks, is that they are a great tag team, and they're great wrestlers, but they make whoever they're working with look a million times better.
Yes.
I remember watching like Gargano, Ciampa in the Cruiserweight and being like, oh, wow, these really guys are really good. But they didn't click for me as a tag team until I saw them with the Revival.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Those matches are legendary.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, unbelievably good. And that got me on board for both teams. I'm jealous of people who are going to these house shows and seeing these house show matches of Gable and Rude versus the Revival that are apparently like barn burners, barn burner after barn burner.
I want it. Give it to me.
But you mentioned Sasha Banks. She and Bayley made history with the first defense of the new women's tag team championships. I say that because those of you who don't know, they existed in the 80s as well. But they're back now and actually featured prominently, which is very exciting. Also notable in that match, Beth Phoenix gets back in the mix, and now she's going to be teaming with Natalya. I like the match. The match is it's very hard for Sasha and Bayley to have a bad match with people. They went out there and made sure that those titles looked important. I like Nia fine. I like Tamina okay. Mm. Beth getting involved was interesting to me, but how do you feel about people like that coming back into a scene that maybe, you know, there are new stars to elevate rather than having to pop people with Beth coming back?
I have a different opinion on it when it's the dudes than when it's the chicks. I just do. Like, when it's the guys, I'm kind of like, you had your time.
Right.
And unless it is one of those cases where you went to somewhere else and you boosted your profile and now you're back and you want to have your winner's lap, okay. When it comes to the women, they did not have the chance to be able to be in the spotlight. So when you get a Mickie James back, when you get a Beth Phoenix back, I'm not going to be mad about it because, there is a lot of younger talent. But these are the women that paved the way in whatever way they could. You know, back in the days where women weren't allowed to throw strikes, what? And so for them to come back and be able to experience what they should have been experiencing all along, I'm never going to be angry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You mentioned a ladder match for, I think, the U.S. championship. What I would love to see is a ladder match for these titles.
Yes, please.
So what I would like, my dream is to have Bayley and Sasha and then Beth and Natalya. And I mean, from the stuff we saw on Raw, that Nia and Tamina are going to be involved too, I would love to see like a team from NXT in there. Mm-hmm. All of those teams together would be electric to watch. And it would also be a thing we know WWE loves to do, which is a nice tableau of like, look how far we've come.
They'll be able to toot their own horn.
You can have Stephanie come out and give the same fucking speech she gives every time that I always have the same rebuttal to, so I won't do it this time. Y'all know exactly how I feel about it. I would love that. I mean, I want a TLC, but just like, Sasha can't break a table. There's not enough of her.
Yeah, like a little like sugar glass table.
Yeah, there you go. Sugar glass.
Perfect.
She'll go through it. And here's the thing. She would let you try to whack her through that table as many times as it took as like a little beautiful chainsaw. But she also has a back and we would like to save it.
True. If you got any thoughts on everything we've discussed so far, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, more big things that happened on the road to WrestleMania. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Hi, it's me, Paula Poundstone.
And it's me, Adam Felber.
We have a podcast called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's a comedy podcast where we bring on experts to teach us stuff we need to know.
And by the way, the guy who came to tell us what to do when you encounter a bear never showed up.
Anyway, it's fun. You are guaranteed laughs in every episode.
You can't really guarantee laughs. What if somebody doesn't laugh? We'll get sued.
Join us for our next episode where we have an expert in consumer law explain to us how to defend ourselves against one humorless, litigious shut-in with enough time on their hands to sue us over our unfulfilled claim of guaranteed laughs in every episode here at MaximumFun.org.
The Cat of the Week is Mabel from Green Bank, West Virginia.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
And
hi, I'm LB Hung Tears. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that.
It's okay. The pin dropped again.
We never warned anyone.
The pin dropped again.
And my pin dropped again. I was like, oh no, I keep dropping my pins.
You know what? In life, the pin drops sometimes. That's just life. Kofi Kingston has had a rough time on the road to his presumed match for the WWE title at WrestleMania. He thought he was added to the match at Fastlane, only to have Vince McMahon tell him that he was in a handicap match against The Bar. Of course, the triple threat match we did get was between Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, and Mustafa Ali. And it was a barn burner.
Mm.
Great match. Three great performers. I mean, certainly, there's almost not a lot to talk about because it's exactly what you would expect from all three guys.
Yeah.
The Spanish fly off of the top rope was my favorite spot of the whole match as it was fucking incredible and looked super dangerous. And I knew that they were safe because they were both really capable performers. And it was just took my breath away. And not a lot of things in wrestling take your breath away anymore. That took my breath away.
Yeah. Still, I mean, not to belabor the point, but I am so, so, so here for this Kofi moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the build to Kofi, the way that they've embraced it, first of all, that handicap match was absolutely perfect. They tore him apart. They looked like animals. He looked like he played
his role
perfectly.
So many people were cranky, and it's like, no, this is the match, you guys.
Please work me.
Work
me, daddy.
It was hard to watch, but like it needs to be hard to watch.
Yes.
It needs to feel bad. It needs to hurt.
Yes.
Because then on SmackDown, when Big E talks and Xavier Woods talks and Vince talks, and then finally Kofi talks, and I'm weeping.
Yes.
And I'm like, I need Kofi Kingston to win the championship at WrestleMania more than I need like health insurance or stable housing or anything in my life I actually need.
Such a great story. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I know, I understand the strong attachment people have to the Shield. And then I was thinking, New Day has been together as a group for longer.
Yep.
And we don't talk about them the same way, and that bothers me.
I agree.
That bothers me in a major way.
You know, they're obviously like a comedy group, but we've seen that if you get the three of them together and they really mean it, they will fuck you up. And they're never going to break them up. They've already said, like, we're not. And of course they won't. They sell way too much merch. Right. They're never going to break them up. And I think they learned that lesson from The Shield, where break them up if you mean it, but don't do it and then bring them back and do it and bring them back.
Yeah.
Other than, obviously, Kofi has to win at WrestleMania.
Right. But first, we're going to get a great match next week, which is a gauntlet match where he has to wrestle. It's The Bar, Eric Rowan, Samoa Joe, and Randy Orton.
The resurrection of Eric Rowan has been so good. I'm so here for it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
R.I.P. first name, though. Just Rowan now.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, he's recycling it.
Yeah. Again, he still looks like a lot of dudes I knew back home, but it's fine.
That's the point, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to look like some dude I used to go to a bar to in Seattle who would talk to me way too much about composting.
He looks like a Pike's Place fishmonger.
He definitely caught some fish. And he walks by the gum wall and is as disgusted by it as I am.
Yeah, exactly.
What a waste. Why does it smell like breath?
Shane McMahon turned on The Miz. This feels like a much better babyface turn than his turn in, what was it, 2013? They tried to turn him face, and that was a disaster. But this time, it felt like they did it right. They did it in his hometown, in front of his dad.
In front of his dad, which is very important.
He shoved his dad. He put him in the weirdest triangle choke I've ever seen.
It's fine.
And then he comes on SmackDown. He finally pulls out the trophy and demands to be announced as the best of the world. It's actually a decent payoff from an event that we don't officially recognize on this show.
Mm-mm.
Do you have any high hopes for their match at WrestleMania, or is it just this will be fine?
No,
it's okay.
I mean, my thing is, like, I do not want Miz to ever be a babyface, because I think heel Miz is like a big piece of the glue that holds the entire company together.
Yep. Yeah.
And especially like the weekly TV shows. So as happy as I am at that, you know, Cool Boss is finally the heel that Cool Boss needs to be, because mm-hmm. Cool Bosses are pretty much all heels in real life. I'm sad about the Miz. So
yeah.
I know that the match is going to be good because Miz could have a great match with me and I can't wrestle. And I know that if I got into the ring with the Miz, he would make me look great. And I wouldn't be trying to do the coast to Chicago. So I know that it would be great. I just, to quote a line from one of my favorite comics, which started the House of M, Wanda Maximoff very famously said, "No more McMahons."
That's right. That was what kicked it all off.
No more McMahons.
Becky and Charlotte had a match on Sunday, which Ronda interrupted to ensure that Becky would win by disqualification to give us the triple threat for the Raw women's title at Mania. Mm-hmm. She goes on Raw, cuts another promo about how wrestling is fake.
Tight.
But we did get this promo from Dana Brooke.
Mm. Each week on Raw, I fight for a chance. And I don't even get the time of day, let alone a match. Rhonda, it's the night after a pay-per-view. And usually you issue an open challenge. My name is Dana Brooke.
Until she drops one of them.
I accept.
That woman has had a fuck of a year. And I'm happy to see her get some of the limelight. Again, I think that she looked great. I think that the promo worked for me. I know it wasn't the best promo we've ever heard. I am confident that if she starts getting back on TV, she will start getting back into her Dana Brooke mojo. I loved it. I was happy to see it.
Oh, I was thrilled. She was so lovely. It was like, okay, yeah, it wasn't the best promo ever, but it was heartfelt enough and
yes.
rooted enough in reality.
Yep.
That, you know what? It might as well have been like a really great promo. Like, it doesn't need to have the formal elements if the, like, heart is there, and the heart was there.
I agree.
Especially after Ronda's promo about how wrestling is fake.
I'm glad that she was given the ball. I'm glad that she ran with it. My memory of her in ring from a couple years ago, and I don't know how much work she's done then, is that her matches weren't very good, and that she wasn't, like, it felt like she found her groove as a personality rather than a wrestler, and that mm-hmm. was purely based on the product that she was putting out in the ring, which is okay. And she also can get, like, maybe is way better, and I'm not aware of it. I like the segment for what it was. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it and go, well, this is the start of the Dana Brooke story. I think it is a story in service of something else. I hope it is. I hope she gets more out of it. I like when people go out and say something honest, and she had a really great Instagram post afterwards.
Yes.
She obviously, from a personal standpoint, I don't know who she is. Like, you know, I don't know her personally. This is nothing against the difficult time she's had. She has my sympathy. I'm talking purely from what I see on TV and in ring. I'm not, like, excited for the next Dana Brooke match I see. When I see her out there, I go, oh, somebody's going to have to work harder, because she will make a lot of mistakes. She got caught, again, she got called up too early
from
NXT.
She absolutely did.
Way too early. Not her fault at all.
I'm hoping that this is one of those things where she comes out and she surprises us, because I want to be surprised by Dana Brooke, because I already like her. I already like her. I just want the matches to be great.
I guess for me in that segment, it would have made sense to me logically to see Mickie James in that spot. Someone who has been working for decades and knows how difficult life on the road is, has worked for different companies, did not come from bodybuilding to the WWE developmental system, to getting called up too early, to struggling to, you know, I mean, it took away some of the impact. I also thought the line of the whole segment was Ronda taking the armbar off and going, that'll be $60 if you want to see that. Oh, she obviously doesn't know that for $9.99 a month, you can get the WWE network and see it
whatever
you want. $60, that's half a year of the network. Batista and Triple H had their face-to-face and scheduled their WrestleMania match, no holds barred. The best part of that
there
is...
There will be holds barred. It's Batista. He's in movies.
If you go on Reddit, you can find it somewhere. Somebody edited Wannabe by the Spice Girls with the tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Tell us what I want, what I really, really want. That's that was the best thing to come out of that segment. I mean,
it'll
if you guys
be great.
Have,
it's great promotion for Endgame.
Yeah,
I guess.
If all the stuff you want to say about it's fine. I don't like. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything to say for me personally about that segment other than they will have a match and it will be a match. And I like Dave Bautista a lot in the Avengers films. And it's a shame that James Gunn isn't doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That is the most I have to say about that segment. Well, on
Bautista
Raw.
Will be another thing, so he'll be fine. What do you think?
Yeah, I could watch Dave Bautista spit onto a microphone for hours.
Yeah.
And I did just go back and like kind of watch some of that like over and over again on mute. I really liked his blazer. I love the coordinating nose ring and sunglasses. Yeah,
now imagine good. Him with his dogs next to him.
Oh, so cute.
One dog under each arm.
Yeah.
Or one dog that he's feeding treats to as he's talking.
And the rest of them just around his at his feet waiting. Yeah.
What if they all also had little sunglasses on?
Yeah. Yes. And nose rings.
You know, I believe that he has a picture. I think I've posted it before where it's him and his wife and their dogs and they're all wearing the same shirt, including the dogs.
Oh,
that
good
rules.
Lord.
I mean, okay.
Bless his heart.
This segment was really fun. I'm going to watch their entrances really, really, really like closely
oh,
at WrestleMania.
Oh, they're going to be good. I want to see what NXT people.
I mean, no. I need to hydrate. Like, I'm probably going to be drinking a lot of like non-water at WrestleMania. I will need to hydrate. Sure. I really will need to use the bathroom. So
at some point, you're going to need more water.
You guys know that we're going to see Batista's dogs at WrestleMania probably. You know how?
Why?
He has a thigh tattoo with his dog's faces.
Oh,
just like,
thank God.
And he wears like, you know, he wears short trunks.
He
so
does.
Like, you're going to see those dogs very trunks. Prominently.
That's
fantastic.
So wonderful.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think that the WWE is going to try to get in as much Endgame stuff as they will allow.
Sure.
Which probably won't be much. I think that Vince probably doesn't know the difference between Fox and Disney, and maybe the merger won't be done, so maybe we'll get a Hugh Jackman.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? He's been on before.
Like a lot.
Another. So this is supposed
before.
To be Batista's final WrestleMania match. Another final match coming was Kurt Angle, who does not have an opponent. Trying to think of who it could be. Don't.
You really don't know.
You,
I'm going to tell you exactly
I know who
who
it is. Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Tell him.
One, two, three.
John
Fake
Cena.
Black son.
No, it's not going to be him.
Oh, we don't know. Everybody thought they knew.
Danielle,
John Cena's going to wrestle Samoa Joe.
No, he's not.
Don't be a fool.
He ain't going to be wrestling Samoa Joe.
It's two.
He's not. And also, Jason Jordan ain't coming back. He's done.
You like, think that Kurt poor, Angle's going to put over John Cena on the
no,
way
No, I think John Cena's going to put over Kurt Angle. Why would he? Why would they ever let? No.
What does that do for anybody?
I don't want a John Cena. I mean, it's fine. It's just John Cena's like not. He's an actor now. It's been
I
a minute. He has hair now.
I just don't. You guys say Samoa Joe, and I saw that. I do not want to see
Samoa Joe and John Cena.
No, I don't want. Yeah, I don't want to see that. No.
Why?
I'd rather see that at SummerSlam, honestly.
Okay.
I'd rather see that there than WrestleMania.
Well, maybe you will. We'll see. We'll find out. What do you people think? Let us know. Let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights. Or you can just add us. We're tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. You know where to find us. We come back. This got aggro. We've got some things from the wrestling world you should know about. You'll see the Tights Fights.
Mmm, this cocoa is perfect, honey.
Oh, thanks, babe, but the kids made it. Sherry, Kevin, how are your Max Fun Drive decorations coming along?
I made a giant enamel pin for all of us to put at the top of the rocket.
But, Mom, I always put the pin on the top of the rocket myself.
Oh, Kevin, honey, it's time to start sharing these things.
Whatever, the Pod Fairy isn't real. Mama and Mommy pay for our quality podcast.
Mommy? Mama? Is the Pod Fairy fake?
Well, sweetie, the truth is no one Pod Fairy could make all the wonderful shows you love to listen to.
And it's true. Your mommy and I choose to pay a small monthly amount to make sure those shows exist.
I guess it does take a lot of work and resources to create a podcast. From generating ideas and booking guests and writing scripts and editing.
Yes, honey. That's very important. And starting March 18th, we can listen to the year's best Max Fun Drive shows knowing that we're helping make them happen.
We wish you a great Max Fun Drive and a cool enamel pin.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Elvie Hunk Tears.
This week, we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. LB, guests go first here. What would you like to put over?
Okay, cool. Well, if you like wrestling and hate necks, you're going to love to watch Naito versus Kota Ibushi in their first round New Japan Cup match, where they just destroy each other's necks the whole time.
Oh scary, necks. But I yes.
It was really good, though.
I bet it was great.
Oh, my god!
I haven't seen it yet. Do we have a clip?
Ibushi not wanting to let go. Naito will use a handful of hair to send Ibushi across. A drop down from Naito. Underneath the elbow, Ibushi. Lightning fast. Both men so quick.
Whoa.
Deep arc drag. He'll hang on, no. Head scissors.
Whoa. Tranquilo, Kevin. Tranquilo.
We are just getting started.
There you go. Neck City. Danielle.
Neck City. Neck City. So speaking of Mustafa Ali, someone who I love, who was amazing, he did an episode of the series called The Secret Life of Muslims on Splinter News, where he talked a little bit about his experience as a wrestling fan and what it felt like to watch wrestling and see, you know, as we've talked about, wrestling in the 80s was not great for people of color. So we talked a little bit about that, and he's great. And here's a clip.
When I tuned in, anyone of Middle Eastern heritage was always portrayed as the bad guy. The evil form, the terrorists. And I knew I didn't want to do that. The initial stages of my career, I was actually hiding behind a mask to hide who I was. But I was getting frustrated.
Don't hide that face.
I wasn't getting better bookings. I wasn't competing at bigger events. Several of my friends in the industry kept saying, like, you know, now is the time. You should try out doing an evil character. And so was born Prince Mustafa Ali.
Prince Mustafa Ali.
Just add the whole head garb thing, yelling in a foreign language. My bookings went up. I was getting flown all over the U.S. to compete.
So sad.
Yeah. So I'm so happy that he got to actually do the thing that he loves to do. I'm happy that he's talking about it. That's so important. But now he gets to be the little Sub-Zero that he's always wanted to be and that I've always wanted for him. And I'm just happy anytime a wrestler or anyone really gets to speak up about how things have changed in their experience, because as people of color, and especially right now with folks who are from the Middle East, who are Muslim, it's real not great because of the way that other people treat them. And the fact that he has been able to say, I'm not going to do that. Like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, and he's so fantastic. And his family is so lovely and amazing. And I love seeing them every time he posts. That man loves his wife more than I've loved anything in my entire life. So, yeah, good for you, Mustafa. And I'm so happy that he was able to share his thoughts and his experiences.
Excellent. I want to put over, I never thought I would be interested in AJ Styles wrestling Randy Orton, but the segments they keep doing and the sound bites are actually interesting, and the segment they had on SmackDown I thought was pretty good. Here's a little taste of it.
In 2005, AJ was down in Florida getting a tan with Dixie Carter while I was here facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania. In 2006, 2007, 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I was here and I was a champion. This isn't the house that AJ Styles built. This house was built long before AJ Styles ever stepped foot in this ring. This is the house that Randy Orton built.
Yeah, knowing Randy, he probably wants to build a nice big wall around that house. So.
Yeah.
But also, wow, again, when Randy Orton cares, man,
yep.
It's real good.
That's
it's
right.
It's real good.
That's right.
His Twitter is a problem, but but when he cares about wrestling, man, it's great.
The stuff with him and
him
his
saying
wife
bad things
on Twitter is just...
They like to fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, they fuck it. and they want to make sure we know.
I mean, people make fun of me for being horny on Maine, but I don't do that.
Man, they're so horny on Maine.
That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were LB, Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. LB, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us what people should be reading, following. Where do you want them to go?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am Hunk Tears on Twitter. You can check out the podcast I produce if you liked me, or if you didn't like me, but you liked my opinions, because I'm not actually on the podcast. It's called WrestleSplania. Episodes come out every Thursday. So after you listen to this, you can just look up WrestleSplania on your podcast thing of choice. We're on all of them. Our episode this week is about the Revival. So it's really good and fun. And yeah, you can also read mine. I just started doing WWE reviews on FanBite, and that is at fanbite.com.
Yay!
Excellent. Excellent. Danielle?
I have been, for those of you who know me from Screen Junkies, one of our writers is off on paternity leave. So I have actually been helping write some of the Honest trailers. We just did the Honest trailer for Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald. Yikes. So the Honest trailer for that is up, as well as the Honest trailer commentaries, which I am on. So go watch those. You will see me on Screen Junkies at least for the next month on Tuesdays and Thursdays doing SJU and then my normal movie fights. I've been very, very fortunate in that I've been getting a shit ton of work lately. So I'm a little behind in some of the stuff that I need to send people that I love. But yeah, you can also find me on my Patreon. Things are exciting. Things go on. It's happy. And I'm getting work. And I'm so busy that my hair is falling out.
Fantastic.
Or that's my wig.
And
or it's traction alopecia.
Who knows? That's the fun mystery of life. Max Fun Drive coming up next week. Be sure to support both Tights and Fights. And we got this with Mark and Al. We're about to go into, should I reveal it here? Dare I reveal it here? That we are starting a Mackle month of back-to-back-to-back-to-back McElroy episodes, starting with Clint, Papa McElroy, next week. That is going to be on We Got This, Mark and Hal. Also, in 2 weeks from tonight at the Dynasty Typewriter here in downtown L.A., the Work Juice Players unite to improvise, as we do every month. Look for the link on all of my social medias. I am at Hal Lublin, everywhere you want to be. Our producer is the master of the Blurred Box Challenge. That's Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Share us with all your friends, especially important as we head into Max Fun Drive. Speaking of which, thank you so much to all the Maximum Fun members who have a portion of their monthly recurring contribution. Help keep the lights on when we are in here and the tiles on the wall. I will never stop talking about that. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.